All right, let's look here in Amos together. Read those verses again, 11, 12, and 13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I'll send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but this is the famine I'm going to send, hearing the words of the Lord. And they'll wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. Here's a famine. We've heard about this famine. And we're probably right in the middle of one right now. But the nation of Israel, they disobeyed God. Oh, how they often disobeyed God, rebelling against His law, rebelling against His commandments. And yet the Lord continued to send His prophets to them, just kept sending prophets to them, to instruct them, to call them to repentance. And they were a stiff-necked people. And let me, you keep this and look over with me in Psalm 95. Look what God said about them. Psalm 95. You know, they erred in their hearts and they didn't know God. They didn't know God. They just, you know, even followed other gods. You know, God swore in His wrath that they would not enter into His rest. But yet the Lord owned them, restrained them, and wouldn't let them be without a word from the Lord. But look what He said here in verse 10. For 40 long years was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. So God put up with these people. But you know, He wouldn't. He restrained them, He kept them, He owned them to be His own. And He never let them go without a word of the Lord. But now, in this chapter of Amos, the Lord announces judgment upon Israel. And the worst thing that can come upon them or come upon anybody. He said, I'm going to take my word from you, and there'll be no message for me from you anymore. Be no message from the word of the Lord. And I tell you, He said, you know, I'm going to send a famine. Not for the proof, but for the hearing of the word of the Lord. And I know this, if men are deprived of light, they're going to stay in darkness. If God don't give them light, they're going to live in darkness. And I also know this, that if they're deprived of the truth, then they're going to walk in error, great error, if you're deprived of the truth. And I tell you, you think about God blinding men. No word from God. What a great thing to fear. What a great, great thing to fear. It was said of Ephraim. That's one of God's chosen. One of Joseph's children. God said, let him alone. He's joined himself to idols. Just let him alone. And the Pharisees, you know, Peter said, you've offended the Pharisees. Our Lord said, let him alone. Just let him alone. Just let him alone. And I tell you what, David, you know, he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Take not Holy Spirit from me. And I remember running across this verse years and years ago when I talked to several preachers about it. In Micah chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, there is no answer from God. No answer from God. Call on Him and no answer. Speak to Him and He won't speak back. Oh, and Amos wrote here, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and won't be able to find it. That's what he said. And I tell you what, these servants of God, and I tell you this is what, it's a very troubling thing to even think about, for God to shut up the heavens and not have anything to do with anybody again. That would be a horrible thing. Horrible thing. But what is it? What's going on whenever there's a famine for hearing the word of the Lord? What kind of famine is it that you know when there's no hearing of the words of the Lord? You know, God was silent for 400 years. From Malachi to when John the Baptist started preaching, God never said a word for 400 years. But you know what happened? Men kept on being religious, kept on going to the synagogues, kept on reading the Bible, kept on praying, just kept on going through the form, kept on going through the ceremonies, kept on going through the rituals. And God wasn't speaking. Nobody got up and God was blessing them. Nobody. 400 years, yet religion went right on. And I tell you, religion doesn't cease even if God's not speaking to a people. Religion ain't going to cease. That's as much a part of man as his very emotions himself. You know, it's like that woman at the well. Our Lord Jesus was talking to her and she said, "Our fathers worshipped over on that mountain." She said, "We got a place where we go and that's where we worship. And you all say go down here to Jerusalem and worship down there. They always said go to a place. Go to a place. This is where our fathers did it." But I tell you, our Lord Jesus came unto his own nation, his own priesthood, his own tabernacle. But you know what it said? His own received him not. You know why? Because there was a hearing. When there's no famine, there's a hearing. But when there is a famine, there's a hearing of hearing the word of the Lord. Let me just give you a few illustrations, if I can, a few things to say about it. You know, preachers go on preaching without the power of the Holy Ghost at all. You know, most preachers don't even know what the Holy Spirit is. They don't know when. They've never experienced it, so it never has been there. So there's no evidence that it's ever been there. And if there was a place where the Holy Spirit was, after a while, he leaves. Because of what's being preached. They go on preaching without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, if the voice of a man is only what people hear, and I tell you what, you ain't going to hear nothing. You know, when the scripture says, when the gospel's in word only, and he said, you know, Paul told the Thessalonians, "Our gospel came not unto you in word only. But if it comes in word only in word, there'll be no new birth. There'll be no conviction of sin. There'll be no revelation of Christ. There'll be no comfort or growth where the Holy Spirit's not present. It just won't happen." But that's what he said. Our gospel came unto you, not just in word. It's got to come in the power of the Holy Ghost and with much assurance. That's what it's got to come in. But preachers go on preaching and they don't have a clue. And I tell you, it's going on all over the world. You know, this is a mysterious thing to me. You go to these third world countries. You go to Mexico. And you know the fast growing religion down there is Pentecostalism. Now, how in the world could you be in Pentecostalism in Mexico? What kind of language did they speak in that they couldn't understand? But that's what goes on all over the place. And they say they're doing it by the Spirit. But it's another spirit. It's not the Spirit of Christ. And then you know people assemble together. Great assemblies get together. They gather up on the Lord's Day. And the Lord's not present with them. They're like, you remember when Mary and Joseph, they went up to Jerusalem and they started home. They started back home. And they went a day's journey supposing that Jesus was with them. Supposing that Christ was with them. The Lord Jesus was with them. They went a day's journey. And they said, well, he's among our kin folks now. They went to looking for him. They couldn't find him. They went a day's journey supposing. Just supposing that he was with them. And that's what most folks do. They suppose that the Lord's with them. And I tell you what. They said, well, he's in our company. But he wasn't there. They went like, where's my son at? Where's Jesus at? Well, have you seen him? No, I ain't. They had to turn around and go back. That's 2 days. But they thought that he was with them. Oh my. As one old preacher said, we have listened to the preacher. Truth by him has been shown. But we need a great teacher from the everlasting throne. And I know this, if the Word of God has any effect on anybody, God's got to be the one to make it effectual. I can't make it effectual. But God can. And he's the only one who can. And I tell you what, you know, men get up to read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. But it never touches the heart in most places. And yet there's the disciples that walked on the Emmaus Road with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he opened to us the Scriptures? And oh my, don't you know in assemblies, you know, the Word of God's read and don't have no effect on people. Oh my. They're just meaningless. Listen, just meaningless, the Word of God's read. You know, I remember different times in my life. I remember one of the first meetings we had here in our conference. Bruce Crabtree got up and read one verse of Scripture, and the power of God fell on this whole congregation. I remember like it's yesterday. He read one verse of Scripture. Whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you drink, whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. Somebody got up to read at 13th Street one time. They read about people exalting themselves. He that exalteth himself shall be humbled. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. And all I could hear was that preacher, when he read that scripture, it was to nobody but me in that service. And that building was full. God drove that home to my heart. Oh, you think you're something? You're nothing. And that just stripped me right in that service. And nobody knew it but me and God. That's what I'm talking about. But men will read the Word of God now, and it has no meaning to anybody. Has no meaning. It don't have no power. And then you take the Lord, this is the baptism and the Lord's table. Oh, we're talking about a famine for hearing the word of the Lord. Oh, everybody observes them. Oh, they're just meaningless rituals and ceremonies. And if you do them without him, if you do them without him, and knowing him, and understanding what you're doing because of him, it absolutely means nothing. You'll just be eating some bread and drinking some wine. You'll just get wet is all you'll do. And all people keep up their prayers. But if God don't hear the prayers, God don't answer from God. Oh my. And I tell you what, and I tell you when this famine and drought, he said, I'll send a famine for the hearing of the word of the Lord. Ain't going to be no word preached. Where's those who want to hear it? I've said this before. If people, you can stand up. If you stood up and offered salvation for $100, if you give $100, God said he'd save you. Everybody and their brother would come up with $100. If they told you you had to dress a certain way, people start dressing that way. If they said you got to wear your hair a certain way, they'd wear their hair that way. But when you tell them that salvation's full, salvation's free, that Christ paid it all to him we owe, listen, there can't be nothing free. God just don't give things like that. But he does. He does. And all when the famine and drought are at their height, I tell you, you know when this happens? When the scriptures begin to be argued over instead of being a comfort. Oh my. People debate instead of looking for instruction, looking for the inspired word. And this is really bad when we're more concerned with proving our doctrine than proving ourselves. Huh? Oh my. You know what that means? That means that the means of salvation then becomes a strong delusion. A strong delusion. And God help me, I don't want to be deluded. Do you? No, I don't. Oh, God said, the day's come, I'm sending a famine in the land. Not because you'll have plenty of bread on your table. You'll have water to drink. But where are you going to find the hearing of the word? Where are you going to find that at? Well, how can you and I, how can we, and I'm talking to us, how can a famine like this be prevented in our day where we live? Only one way, by the grace of God. By the grace of God. You know, I want you to look with me now over in Psalm 51. Look with me in Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Let's go through Psalm 51 together just for a minute. Take a few minutes here. You know, there's men who are seeking the Lord. They are seeking comfort. Sinners that are seeking comfort. Believing sinners are seeking comfort. And David, he was living in this day. Psalm 51. He was living in this day. And he prayed this psalm, wrote this psalm. And God listened to him. God heard him. And I believe he'll hear us when we do like this right here. Oh, first thing, look at verse 1 and 2. This is how we're going to keep from having a famine. Have mercy upon me, O God. Oh, he had a plea for mercy. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Here's a plea for mercy. David pleads for mercy. And what was the grounds? What was the foundation that he pleaded for mercy? The Lord's loving kindness. The Lord's tender mercies. He didn't come and say, Lord, I've done this and I've done that and I'm righteous here and I'm righteous there and I was a king and I fought battles. He never said any of those things. But he prays, oh God, wash me. Wash me. Wash me. Cleanse me from my sins. Blot out my transgressions. And oh, he's the very one that said, there's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. First of all, we plead for mercy. I don't want a famine in the land. I don't want a famine for the hearing of the word of the Lord. But first is a plea of mercy. Look what else. The second one was a confession of sin. Look what he said here in verse 3 and 4. For I acknowledge my transgressions. And listen to this. My sin is ever before me. You know, men are so bad to say, boy, their sins are ever before me. What they did is ever before me. I've got, you know, there's people that just don't like me and that, you know, it's my fault. And I'm sure it is my fault. I mean, there's lots wrong with me. But he said, I acknowledge my transgression, my sins ever before me. And then he goes, it's against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. I do know this, that there'll be no forgiveness of sin, no mercy from God, where there's no confession of sin. He said, if we confess our sins, he'll cleanse us from our sins. And Proverbs said it like this, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesses them and forsaken them shall have mercy. And listen how honest his confession was. He said, my sin is ever before me. My sin. My sin. Oh, we worry about what other people think, what other people say, and what other people's going to do. But what about God looking at us? Oh, my. And listen to this. This is the most important thing right here. Solemn and important statement. David said, it's against you that I've sinned and done evil in your sight. What David is doing, he justifies God and takes sides with God against himself. Against himself. You're just when you speak. When you speak against my sin. And you're clear when you judge me and condemn me. And I do know this without a shadow of a doubt. If God brings you to where you're a real bona fide sinner, you know what you'll say? I don't deserve anything from God. I mean, if he had condemned me, he'd have been just in doing it. And I tell you, every time I sin, he's just in dealing with me the way he needs to. But I do know this. He'll own that he deserves to be damned if God don't have mercy on him. You, God's the one I've sinned against. You. And then look what he says. Oh, my. We're talking about a famine for the hearing of the word of the Lord. We don't want one. This is what I'm trying to tell you, that this is what we need to do and what we are doing continually and constantly, so God won't leave us to ourselves. But you know there's a reason for our troubles. Look in verse 5 and 6. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. You know, there's a reason that we have the troubles that we have in this world. Our great problem is so much not what we do as what we are. Yeah. That's what our problem is. And you know what? We're fallen, depraved, wretched, miserable, blind. God help us sinners. And if the Lord don't do, and you know, and he looks at us and watches us, and what David does is he says, you know what my problem is, Lord? He said, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to confess my problem to you. I was shapen in iniquity. When my father conceived me in my mother's womb, I was sin when I was in that womb. I was a sinner when I come out of that womb. I come forth from my mother's right womb speaking lies. Oh, he said, what I am is my problems with me. Me. Oh, his problems within. Not only is the water bad, but you know where the water comes from is bad. Oh, my. We were conceived in sin. No. Oh, my. You know what has to happen? There must be a new birth. Must be a new heart. Must be a new nature. And only God can do that. Only God can do that. And then look, but God gives us a remedy. Look what he says in verse 7 and 8. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. You know, it says here, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. The Catholic Church has a doctrine, they call it purgatory. Purgatory. That's a place where everybody goes when they die. And they have to stay there till they're purged from their sins. And they either got it purged for them by suffering themselves, or some of their family members do good works and have prayers for them and gives money for them and gets them out sooner. And they stay in purgatory till they're purged from their sins and ready to go to heaven. Now that's one thing that's true. One thing is true. If we're going to stand in God's presence, we must be purged from our sin. Now where is this going to happen? How's this going to happen? He by himself purged our sins. But look what David says. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Oh my. And what he's talking about here is the blood atonement on the mercy seat provided by God's blessed Lamb, our Lord Jesus. You know the first time the word hyssop is used in the Bible is on the Passover night. On the Passover night. They pour that blood of that Passover lamb out in the bowl, and they took hyssop and they dipped it in that blood and they sprinkled it on the doorpost and on the lintel. That's the first time you hear hyssop mentioned. And oh God, that's why when they used that hyssop, that's the first time it's mentioned. And he said, God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And that's the only way that God can bring blessings in the presence of God to his people. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by him purging our sins. So let's do it again. How can we keep from having a famine for hearing the word of the Lord? You know, you go from having good crowds to hardly nobody. But he says, oh, a plea for God's mercy from the heart. God, give us mercy. Please don't leave us to ourselves. And then a genuine confession of sin. Now, I don't know. You know, I'll tell you, I'm sorry for being sorry. I'm sorry before God that I'm sorry. And then an understanding of the root problem. What's the root problem? Shapen in iniquity and conceived in sin. And I tell you something that we just got to have. The preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our substitute. One who stood in our place, stood in our room. Bore our sins there on his own body on that tree. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. And when they was found on him, he was crucified. He died. And I do know this, that God will honor those who honors his son. And where there's a famine for the word, the proverb's generally not in the pew, but it's in the pulpit. In the pulpit. I do know and I believe with all my heart, where Christ is preached, God will bless his word. And the Father will bless the gospel. He'll bless it. For his good and our glory. Our Father, in the blessed name of Christ, Lord, we talked about a famine for hearing the word of God. Where can we go to hear it? Who is preaching it? Who is telling the truth? Who is preaching Christ? Who is preaching Christ crucified? Who is preaching him as our sin offering, sacrifice, our substitute, our satisfaction before God? Oh Lord, wherever that's preached, you promised that you'd bless your gospel, bless your son, bless the word. And Lord, bless your word. Oh God, bless your word. May life come from it. May power come through it. May hearts be touched by it. May understandings be enlightened by it. And oh Lord, if we have a problem in hearing, Lord, let us come before you and say, Lord, what's with me? What's my problem that I can't hear, that I don't listen? It has no effect upon me. Oh Lord, please, please reveal it to me. I want to hear your word. I want to believe your word. I want comfort from your word. I want assurance from your word. I want to grow in your word and grow by it. So Lord, please save us from ourselves. Bring glory to yourself. For Christ's sake, amen. Amen. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore, my redemption full and sure, he is all I need. See you Sunday, God willing.